Okay, so all my friends out there, it's just a pleasure to be able to speak and learning again with everyone. And today I would like to go through the different types of chametz, and from there move on to the halachas to move on to the halachas of what's considered tareves chametz a little, and then discuss the halachas of kashering, and then hopefully also the inyanim that go into baking matzahs. So let's start with chametz be'en. The first category is chametz itself, or a mixture with a large ratio of chametz. The chiyuv karis for eating chametz is when one eats chametz itself, something that falls into this category, which includes bread, cakes, pretzels, wafers, types of pastries like that. The second category is what's called taroi v'shotamoi v'lei mamashin. It's a mixture that has in it chametz, but this mixture contains a larger portion of permissible food, yet one can still taste the chametz. Over here we have a machlekes rishonim, how to learn the machlekes in the Gemara, of whether this category is only a issur d'rabbanan, or it's actually a machlekes tanoim, whether it's issur d'oraisa. But either way, it is aser. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch brings down. Chometz v'pesach, oisa ta'arevusoi, bein b'mina v'shloi b'mina b'mashu. Midrabanan, chometz on Pesach itself, is aser, no matter what type of mixture it is, with a mashu of chometz. And this is a din d'rabanan. Even though midrabanan, there may be some sort of a bittul, however, midrabanan, on Pesach, they asked any form of mixture, even if it's only a very small amount. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that chametz, which got mixed from the sixth hour until the evening, we learned earlier that the mitzvah Tashbisu begins already on Erev Pesach from the sixth hour. This Isser from the sixth hour until the night does not ask the b'mashu, as it didn't like other Yisurim. So whatever by other Yisurim would be considered batal will also be batal if it got mixed in, if chametz got mixed into the mixture before the evening of Pesach, even though it was after the sixth hour. However, can I lechatchila be mevatal chametz b'shishim, right? Normally we know 1 to 60 is batal. Can I be mevatal chametz lechatchila on Erev Pesach after the sixth hour before the evening with kavana in order to eat it on Pesach? Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav that that is Aser, and in Sivav he goes on to explain to us when does this Iser apply. The Mishnah Berurah also brings this down. Mishnah Berurah brings down the Ervoy b'Meisid, if one mixed it on purpose. For example, he says he needed to make this mixture. It would remain Aser on Pesach, and this is very negayah to a lot of times different companies where they're producing different products for Pesach, there could be a question of perhaps a mashal of chametz left being mixed in there, even though it's being done before Pesach. But depending on the purpose of why it's being done, going back to what the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes, is whether it would still be usher on Pesach or not. Now, midrabanan, chametz on Pesach is also be mashu. Why were Chazal more machmir by chametz than by other isurim? So there are two reasons given. One reason is given by Rashi, because since people are not used to separating themselves from chametz throughout the year, they're used to eating chametz throughout the year, so we had to be extra machmir, very similar to the Torah, just like the Torah established the isur of vayiro vayimate, to prevent us from coming to eat chametz. So to Chazal went ahead and extended the Isser that it's even b'mashu. The second reason given by the Rambam is because it's a dav sheishna matir, something which has a time that will be mutter, as chametz will be mutter after Pesach, has no din bittul and will always be usser even b'mashu. There are a few nafkaminas between these two reasons, which are brought down in halacha. Now, not only is eating chametz itself usser, or eating a mixture that contains chametz usser, but b'li oisa also aser. If I have a pot that I use to cook in a chametz, and now I want to use it to cook Pesach Dika food, that's also Aser. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, brings down over here. Anything which was cooked in a Kli Chametz will be Aser on Pesach. Similarly, we find also that if I cut Chametz with a knife, one has to be Machmir. Even though it may be clean, the knife, but if it's a Dava Charif, if it's something which is sharp, it could also be Isurim. In other words, any type of halachas of bliyus that we have throughout the year will apply over here also with the Isur of Chametz. And another very important rule that we need to keep in mind is that throughout the year, there could always be a difference between a kli which is a ben yaymai or ain ben yaymai. The Rav will ask you, was it used within the last 24 hours or not? On Pesach, we make no difference. Loi amrinan shem kelim ain ben yaymai. We do not make any difference between a kli that was used within 24 hours or not used within 24 hours. So says the Gemara Pesachim, a very interesting discussion between Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, these knives on Pesach, hechi abdin alahu, what do we do with them? So Amalei, so Ravashi said back to Ravina, l'didi chadetuk abdin, and I get new ones. So Ravina said back to Ravashi, tenach mar, that's good for you because you can afford it. But those that cannot afford new utensils, what should they do? So he responded and said, no, I didn't mean I get new ones. I make them as if they're new. I take them and I kasher them. I do hagala, I do libun, I do the proper kashering process in order to kasher them. And that's what I meant by I get new ones. The Taz points out from the fact that the Gemara had a tzad of getting new ones, it's roi for Yirei Shemayim that he should be extra careful. I mean, Tzara Din, if he could get new utensils, he should get new utensils. And the Taz brings from the Maril that there was a mitzvah in a mukha to buy new ones, even though many Paisim learn that the Maril was talking about knives, which are hard to clean well, because in the serrated part, chametz may get stuck over there, as opposed to other kalim, you do not need to get new. But others, mitam zihiros, would get new ones. Again, from the Gemara it's mevor that there is such an inyan of getting new kalim for Pesach. However, from the same Gemara it's mevor that one who cannot afford it, one who's making Pesach for the first time, and it's going to be a big expense for them, or one that's only planning making Pesach once or twice, hopefully they'll be able to go back to the parents and to the in-laws for Pesach, then it's an expense which they may not be able to afford, or expense which is too expensive, and therefore they do not need to cash. They do not need to get new ones, and it's enough to cash. And what's very interesting is that the halachas of kashering kalim in Yerideya, where I would have thought that that's where the Shulchan Aruch should elaborate on them, over there it's written very short. And it refers you to Hilchos Pesach, because throughout the year it wasn't so common to kasher kelim. However, when it came to Pesach, it was a lot more common among the people to kasher their kelim. And therefore, the halachas of Hagolas HaKelim are written at a lengthy version over here in Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tav Nun Aleph through Tav Nun Beis. And this brings up many different discussions in the Paiskim throughout the Simanim of what is the Machaber or the Ramavi and Machmir because of Chumrah the Pesach and what is true all year round. Now, beginning with Pashas Matis. In Pashas Matis, which is the source to Kashering Kalim, the Pasuk spells out for us which types of Kalim could be Kashered. Not all material can be Kashered, only very specific ones. And Min HaTorah, only a Kli Ben Yoymei needs to be Kashered. A kli that was used within 24 hours for non-kosher or milchig or fleishig or chametz needs to be kashered for another usage. However, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that mitarabanan, even an ene ben yoymai also needs to be kashered. One is not supposed to use a kli that's ene ben yoymai, atu ben yoymai. It will get very confusing in the kitchen. You'd have to keep in mind which kelim were used within 24 hours, which were not. Could you imagine? You have one set of pots, and you have to keep in mind which one they used for milking within the last 24 hours, and which one did they not. It would get very confusing. Therefore, we do not use one pot for another usage, for the other type of usage, even if it's a Eina Ben Yehima. There is a discussion between the Meine HaMitzvahs, if the Machshe Kelim is a mitzvah's assay or not. However, Halacha L'maisa, when one does Hachsharas Kelim, when one's Machshe the Kelim, there is no bracha on the Hagolas Kelim. There's no bracha. We do not say a bracha. By Tzvilas Kelim, we make a bracha. But by Kashrin Kelim, we do not make a bracha. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that women are nemenes to say that they did a proper Hachsharas Kelim, that when they were kashering the Kelim, they kashered it correctly and properly. So we could trust the women on that. And the Magen Avraham and the Paiskim bring down that at the kashering stands, there should be a Talmud Chacham or Baki B'Allah B'Hilchis HaGala. Since there are many different halachas that do come up at a kashering stand, therefore it's proper that we should have a Talmud Chacham or a Baki B'Hilchis HaGala by the kashering stand. Now, we find in halacha that there's a possible difference between being makshir the kelim before the fifth hour on Erev Pesach to after the fifth hour. Before the fifth hour, one does not need to be as makbid on what and how he's kashering to if he's kashering after the fifth hour. Even though the Bi'ar Halacha does say that l'chatchila, even before the fifth hour, we should be makbid on all the akpadis. However, there definitely is more leniency before the fifth hour. Two differences is, do we need to make sure that the kelim are not a ben yoimai? Number one. And number two, do we need to make sure that in the kli that we're mashering them, there's shishim, kineged the kli that you're kashering. The minig, the Rama writes, the minig is not to be magal kelim that are a ben yoimon. So therefore, l'chatzchila, one should make sure that the kelim that he is be a machshir were not used for hot chametz within 24 hours beforehand. However, again, if he's being machshir before the fifth hour, the makim tzerech, there definitely is makim to be makel. Especially if in the kli there is shishim neged the kli that would be in machshir. Shulchan Aruch brings down that what types of material can one be machshir? Eight wood, Evan, stone, mateches, or metals. Now, when one is being machshir with hagala, there's two types of ways of being machshir. There's hagala. Hagala means it's being magil, it's spitting out. The boiling water causes that the kli spits out its flavoring that was absorbed in the pot. It spits it out, it's magil, it's poilet, it's spits it out. Then there's liban. Liban is it burns it. It may remain inside. The bli is inside, but it burns the bli to the extent that it's not strong enough to assess something afterwards. Now, because hagala doesn't burn the bli, it just causes it to spit it out. Therefore, when kashering a kli aids, we need to make sure that it's smooth. If there are cracks in the wood where chametz could get stuck in the cracks of the wood, so then hagala is not going to pull out the blia. Hagala is not going to burn the piece of chametz that's stuck in it. Hagala could pull out a blia, but can't pull out the chametz itself or burn the chametz. So therefore, it has to be smooth, not there's any cracks. And that's the reason why also, before one is magel his kelim, before one does hagala on his kelim, he has to make sure to clean and scrub the kli very well, that there's no schmutz stuck to the kli. And therefore, those kelim which are very difficult to clean well, like a sifter or a kelim as like that, should not be kashed for Pesach. Similarly, if there's rust on the kli, but the type of rust where it's above the surface of the kli, and we're worried that perhaps there's a piece of chametz stuck in the rust, then one has to scrape off that rust to make sure that there's no chametz stuck over there. What rust spots or discoloration, where there's no mamashas, that one does not need to remove. We're talking about where there's something stuck to the kli. So what we see from these halachas is that before doing hagalah, one has to scrub the kli and clean it very well to make sure that it's smooth and clean, that all there is left over there is bliyas, and that the hagalah will be able to pull out the bliyah. Now, by libun, I do not need to remove the rust, because libun is a burning fire, a torch, a fire, which will burn any chametz that's left on the kli. There's a question: what needs hagala? What's enough just to do in boiling hot water? And what do I need to do libun to? So the Gemara gives us a rule, and that's called kibbalai kach paltai. The way it went in, that's how it comes out, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here. Kalim that were used with hot water, according to their usage, is their hechsher. If they were used as a kli rishon, for example, a spoon to mix the food in the pot on the fire, then one needs to be machsher in a kli rishon. If it was used in a kli sheni, then one is machsher in a kli sheni. Similarly, if something was used by eroy, that hot chametz was poured onto it from a kli rishon, then it will be enough to pour onto it from a kli rishon to remove the bliyah. Kefit hashmishon hechsheron chibolai kach paltai. The way it went in is how it comes out. There's a shita that holds that if it went in through a kli rishon al ha'esh, then I need to remove the bliyah in a kli rishon al ha'esh. And an eroy will not suffice for this. Just pouring hot water over it is not going to pull out the bliyah. What happens if I have a kli that's used in different ways? Sometimes it's used as a kli rishon. Sometimes it's used on the esh itself. How do we judge that? This is the discussion of roif tashmishon. Machlekes mechaber Rama. According to the Rama, even if roif tashmishon is one way, but since miyot tashmishi was the other way, we have to go with the chumradika way of kashu. So now let us discuss. What is the proper seda of hagala? How do I do hagala? Are those kelim which is enough just to remove the bliyah through the boiling hot water? What do? I first have to clean the kli very well, wait 24 hours, either before I clean it or if I clean it, wait 24 hours from using it with hot, fill the pot with water and put it on the fire until it comes to a bubble, so it's boiling, bubbling, and then put the kli that I'm kashering into this kli. And if I'm kashering that pot itself that I'm boiling the water in, so I have to build something that the water will overflow, will hit the top, the rim of the kli itself. And the minig is, you have to kash in the kelim to wash it with cold water. That is the process of agala. By agala, one's allowed to do agala on half the kli at a time, different than tzivilas kelim. By tzivilas kelim, one needs to toivel the entire kli at once, as opposed to agalas kelim. If the kli is too big to be immersed in at once, one could do half at a time. There's something called the Evan Malubin, where it's a big kli and it's hard to do agala to it. There's a process where I can heat up a stone or a metal and then just move it over the water to move it over the surface until the water that's on it boils. And that's enough. And that's called the Evan Malubin, which we generally refrain from using because it's difficult to do it. Unless you really know how to do it, it could be dangerous if you don't know how to do it. The reason why the minig is to wash off with cold water afterwards is, in a way, just to wash off any bleas that might be still on the kli. So this is Hagola. This is the process of Hagolas Kelim. Libon is Kelim, which we use with fire itself, like a spit, a grill, a broiler, that it's not used with liquid. It's used with the fire itself. The blaze went in through the fire itself. That needs Libon. That needs fire to remove the blia. Now, when it comes to different materials, such as rubber, plastic, we in general, for Pesach, are machmir not a kashrut. We follow Rav Moshe's opinion that we do not kasher rubber and plastic for Pesach. However, this year, many people feel that they're in a need, that they might have to kasher rubber or plastic. So in the case of a real need, they could rely on Rav Henkin's Pesach, where he was makel, to kasher for Pesach. China, we do not kasher for Pesach. There may be certain situations where it wasn't used for 12 months and different other tzirufim for that, in case one needs the she'ez kashayla about it. Or if it was only used with cold, one she'ez kashayla, and perhaps it'll be mutter to use it for Pesach. Porcelain, we do not kasher for Pesach, has a din like cheres. It's interesting, glass, there are three sheets between the Rishonim for glass. And the machleik is machaber Ramah, and the Ramah's psak is that we do not kasher glass for Pesach. Therefore, Rav Moshe held that Corel, Pyrex, Dulex, Durlex, and any of those types of dishes should not be kashered for Pesach. Again, in case of real need, that one is stuck and they need to, they should ask a shayla. Perhaps there'll be a heterim. We can rely on the sheet that they hold you allowed to. Inserted with certain tzirufim. The Mechaba speaks about if you have tables or closets or boxes where you keep food in it, different surfaces of whether you need to be machshed or not. And the Shmur says you should be machshed those surfaces if they would came in contact with hot chametz. So therefore, countertops need to be kashed or covered, whichever one's easier. You clean the countertop well, and then you either cover it or you kasher. If it's a formica surface, again, in general, we do not kasher formica surfaces based on Ramesha Shita. However, if one is in a needy situation because of the virus or whatever it may be, then they ask a shayla, and one may rely on Rav Henkin that one could kasher such surfaces. Enamel also, in general, we give a din of cheres, and therefore one cannot kasher it. Teflon has a din of plastic. So these are different situations which come up in the kitchen that, in general, we do not kasher for a Pesach. If you have kalim that we use only for cold, like a kais of kiddush or a wine decanter made of metal or glass, mi'ikar adin, it's enough just to wash it well and scrub it. Ramah brings down that there are those that are machmir to do agola, any type of agola, boil up a pot of water, drop it in the water. If one knows that they never used it for anything hot chametz, they could just rely on washing it well. But otherwise, one should just drop it into a pot and of boiling water and be machshir. If one has a kais, becher, that they use to drink whiskey in, so then we know that this kavosh, and possibly if it's sat there for 6 minutes, the kli has real blias of chametz. So that these are the dinim of kashering kalim, which were on the table with chametz, and now you want to use it on Pesach and eat from them or drink from them. So even though they were used only with cold, best to kasher them if possible. However, a Neir Shabbos tray, the tray for the Halakas Neiris, since you're not eating off the tray, even though it was on the table with chametz, that it's enough to just wash it well, clean it well, and you do not need to kasher it at all. Similarly, we mentioned that if one has towels, dish towels, hand towels, tablecloths, which are material. It's enough to just wash them, and that's enough. You can wash them in the wash machine, even on a cold cycle with soap, with detergent. That's enough. Plastic, Ramay Shel, to be machmir on. High chairs, just wash them down well. Pantry cabinets are like tables and closets, just clean them well. If you feel more comfortable covering them, cover them. But if you feel comfortable just washing them down, that's enough. A refrigerator, a freezer, we're obviously going to be storing food, and during the year, food spills over, does get crumbs on it. So one should be more careful about cleaning it out. If it's possible to wash down the shelves, best to do so. If one's still nervous, just cover them. And there's if the schmutz crusted into the towel, then obviously you don't use it on Pesach, and maybe do it on a better cycle in your wash machine. Now, a sink is as follows. If the sink is made from porcelain or enamel, like some of the older sinks, so that you should just buy a insert and cover the sink, and that's enough. If it's made from stainless steel, so one could be machshirit. Being machshirit would mean to boil up hot water, either in your hot water kumkum or in a pot, and as soon as it bubbles, take it straight from the oven without stopping, pour it onto the sink, pour it onto the bottom of the sink, try to get every spot. It may take you 2 or 3 times to do it, then do the walls. Try to do as best as you can. And if it will take more than one time to do it, dry it in between, because the water will cool off and not allow the second hot water clear it well, clean it well, and be machshir well. On the faucets, one just needs to pour hot water over the faucets. That's enough. Some machmir to turn on the hot water at the time when they're pouring that water over it. That's also good, but it's enough if you just pour hot water over the faucet. That's fine. The oven. So we have the oven and we have the stove top. The oven itself, which is the inside, the oven itself, over here, if it's a self-clean oven, very simple. Just self-clean it, do one cycle of self-clean, and that's fine. When you're self-cleaning it, leave the racks, the trays, take the burners on top of the stovetop, take the burners, take the grates from the stovetop, put it all into your oven, ask your neighbors if they have, and they don't have a self-clean oven, help them out. Just put it into the self-clean oven, self-clean it, and it'll be fine. However, if one does not have a self-clean oven, so then what they need to do is, and this is a question in the Paiskim, some Paiskim hold that it's difficult. Ramosha was not a fan of kashering the oven if it's not a self-clean oven. However, other Paiskim hold, and one can rely on these Paiskim, that we could clean the oven, clean it well. What's burnt is burnt. Then turn on the highest. If they're waiting 24 hours from using with hachametz, turn on the highest for an hour, let's say, 45 minutes or an hour. And the racks, if possible, to do leave into the racks better. If not, then one can rely on this also for the racks. Unless he knows that he put chametz directly onto the racks and bleas of chums, he warms his challahs up on the rack itself. So then there's more of a reason to say that one should find a way to do leaven for it. And his stovetop, what he should do is, he should leave the burners and the grates on it. And he could take the racks from the oven, which he couldn't kasher, he didn't have self-clean. So he could take the racks from the oven, put on top of the grates on the stovetop, take a blech, put it on top of the grates with the racks and the burners, and turn on 3 fires and let it go for 15-20 minutes. Now, you have to be very careful. It gets very, very hot over here. If you take a tissue and you touch it and it turns into ashes, that means it got hot enough. At that point, you kashered everything with libun. You kashered the grates the burners, and if you put the racks there from the oven, you kasha that also. Now, the floor of the stovetop, which means between the burners, if it's metal, then it got kashed with this fire also. But if it's porcelain, then one should cover it with thick aluminum, and that'll be enough. So bottom line is, if one has self-clean oven, they should self-clean all the pieces in the self-clean oven. That will kasha the oven with all the pieces. And then all he needs to do is cover the floor of the stovetop if it's not metal. If he does not have self-clean oven, so then he could kasha the oven by turning it on the highest for 45 minutes. And then kasha the rest on the fire, on top of the stovetop, under a blech. Keep the heat in. It will keep the heat in and bring it to the degrees that it's that it needs to be brought to. Oven hood, one just has to clean well. If he's worried about, if he has the issue that it gathers condensation and drips back down, then he has to cover it. A broiler tray that you roast on it, if it was used for chametz, that will need real libun. A microwave, we do not kasha for Pesach. Okay, so this is the kashering part of the kitchen, and I think we touched it all. Grill hoods, it depends how it's shaped and how it's made, but again, if it's possible to clean it well, and when the fire's on, to leave it on long enough, that will bring it to a heat that's considered libun. If you touch from the outside when tissue will turn ashes, then you kashered it. Okay. Now I'd like to move on to the halachas of baking matzah. Baking matzah. We know the pasuk tells us, Berishin ba'avasim lachodesh be'erev toichlu matzahs. There's a mitzvah asay to eat matzah the night of the 14th. Whether it's a mitzvah also the rest of Yontif, or there will be a Mekaiba mitzvah with each Kazayas and Kazayas that we eat the rest of Yontif, is very famous raid with the Gra and others. They will discuss it at different points in time. The Pasuk tells us, Ushmartem es ha-matzis. You should watch over the matzis. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabba. The Pasuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzis, is teaching me that the matzah needs to be watched, the shei matzah. The Gemara is actually talking about matzahs that were baked for the carbon toida, which were baked without any chametz. There's no chametz. I know there's no chametz in these matzahs. However, the shmira of the chametz was the shem zevach, was for the carbon, not for the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, you cannot use it for matzah's mitzvah. Because the matzah of the mitzvah need to be mishtameres l'shem matzah. As Rashi tells us over there, kol shimur shata mishamer shaloi tachmitz, any type of shimur, any type of watching over it that you're doing in order that it shouldn't become chametz, his chavein l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. And Rashi writes this also in Masechet Gittin, there needs to be a kavana l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. And because of this, the halacha tells us that if the matzah was baked by a non-Jew, you cannot use it for mitzvah, even though I know and he knows that the chametz was not this matzah has no chametz. However, as the Mishbura explains, ushamartem es ha-matzos, umashma mizeh the shmir shat the mishamra ishalei tachmitz. Is chavin l'shem matzah shal mitzvah, and the guy cannot be mechavin l'shem matzah shal mitzvah. And there's actually a machlekes hapoiskim, machlekes rishonim. If you have oymir al gabov, if I have a Jew standing over the guy, reminding him constantly, keep in mind that this is for matzah mitzvah. Keep in mind that this is for matzah mitzvah. Does that help or not? It's a machlekes rishonim, and long discussion the Beis Yosef and other. The Rishonim, the Rashba, of whether that works or not. Is it different than Shechita, where we find Oymer al Gabav? Is it different than Gittin, where we find the din of Oymer al Gabav? What's the din over here? And according to many Shitas, even if there's Oymer al Gabav, it does not help. One cannot, it will not help when a guy does, because you're missing, even though we know the Vada, that there is no chametz in these matzahs, but since it wasn't made l'shei mitzvah's matzah, cannot be used for the mitzvah of eating matzah lel yudalit. Now, this shimur, this special din of shimur, of watching over the matzahs that they do not become chametz, from what point in time do I need to begin the shimur? So this is the machlekes rishonim. There are those that hold that it needs to be from any possible point where it could become chametz. And therefore, from when the chitim already, from the shasak tzira, from when it was harvested, from when it was harvested, we need to make sure that it did not get wet and turn into chametz. Others hold that from the shas nesina samayim, from when we put the water into the flour, that's when we need this kiyum of the mitzvah of the shei mitzvah's matzah. From then, the process of chametz begins. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that the chitim that were made for, the chitim that are being used for the mitzvah's matzah's mitzvah, toiv l'shamram shleibu aleim mayim mishas ketzira. It's toiv that one should watch over them from the time of ketzira, or at least from the time of tchina, from when they're being ground. Shasat chak, it's mutter to take kemach from the shop. The Mishnah Berurah explains that from the shasek tzira, it should be watched from the time, from that time onwards, that water doesn't fall onto it. But before tzira, one doesn't have to worry, because as long as it's attached to the ground, one, even though it could get wet, even though it gets wet, it will not turn chametz. However, the Shulchan Aruch explains to us, and the Mishnah Berurah points this out, that this is only true before it gets fully grown. Once it already starts to dry out, even though it's still attached to the ground, since it doesn't need to be yoinik, doesn't need to be nourished from the ground, it's as if it's sitting in a pot, it's as if it was already harvested, and at that point, water could cause chimas. This is why you'll hear people going out to the fields already Chanukah time, to cut the wheat for the matzah. They're going out there to catch the wheat before there's any chance of it being fully grown, so that there's no chash at all that it turned chametz. There is a discussion, if it did get wet after it was fully grown, how much rain do you need in order to make it chametz? Could be it's only if there was a storm of a lot of rain coming down on it, that it could become chametz. But either way, we're machmir to cut it and to harvest it before it gets to the point of fully grown. Now, this matzah lishma, this extra lishma that we're having with the matzah, is it only needed for the matzah that I'm eating lel tezvav on the night of the 15th of Nisan? But all the other matzahs do not need this extra shmira? It's enough just to know that it did not turn chametz or not. Many are naik to eat matzah shmura the entire Pesach, or at least matzah shmura from Shasa Tchina, the entire Pesach. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishmur in different places discusses. Now, when making the matzah, another chumra that we have is what's called mayim shalanu. Mayim shalanu doesn't mean our water. It means mayim shelanu that rested overnight, lina, was left overnight. The water that we're going to use for baking the matzah, wherever it came from, whether it came from Beirais or from springs or from the river, we draw it while it's still day. The Ramah says samach tishkia, and the question if it has to be samach tishkia, or and whose sheet is that, that the Mechabez Mashmah does not have to be Samach Tishkiah, but we go out there to draw water, and then we leave it in a cool area overnight, and we're very careful to keep the water cool, because if there's any heat, that could cause the fermenting process, the chimutz process, to quicken and happen quicker. So therefore, we're very careful. We restore the water overnight, and where we bring it up, and the way we bring it up, we cover the water when we're bringing it from place to place. There's a lot of different hanhagas that we do to keep the water cool. And the Mishmur brings down that at the time of the she'iva, when we're drawing the water, one should say, the shei matzas mitzvah. That's why there's a special inyan that should be dafka through a Jew and not through a guy. Like we mentioned earlier, where you need the shei matzas mitzvah, we prefer using a yid and not a guy. And that's why b'derech klal in the room where they're kneading the dough, you'll see there are no windows. We don't want any sun shining in. We want it to be closed in, cool, so that there's no chance of chimutz. How long does it take for something to become chametz? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us not to leave the dough without any asik, without any movement of it, even for one rega. Kozman, the yibim is asik in it, even if it's the whole day, it will not turn chametz. However, if you leave it without an asik, sheer mill, the shear of a mill, which the Shulchan Aruch paskins over here is 18 minutes, then it's possible for it to become chametz. Now, once you're in this asik with the batik and it became heated with your hands, if I leave it without any asik, miyad yachmet. And the question is, what's called miyad machmet? What does it mean, miyad, miyad? So Mishmur says, ve'ef shed miyad dekom ha'mechaba lav davkel ratzulayma shear mu'et. And there are those shittas that hold that it's a matter of a minute. The Eid HaCharedis actually holds it's 2 minutes. So if you ever hear people knocking the Eid HaMatzis, this is why they knock it, because the Eid held it's 2 minutes, and many other Paiskim were not happy with that. They held that Miyad is less than 2 minutes. But in Halacha, we try as we go, as we see in the Matzah bakeries, we're very careful that there should always be it shouldn't be left at all for any time more than maybe a second or two without someone actually pounding at it or doing something to the dough. The Mishbrewer brings down that our meaning nowadays is also that the women that are being lush, that are kneading the doughs, they should wash their hands and all the kalim every 18 minutes or every so often. They should wash their hands. And that's why every 18 minutes they stop and they throw all the matzahs that were baked after this time out. And they start over again the cycle. And it all comes from this inyan of this hakpada. That's where we see the Aruch HaShulchan also is ma'arich on this. And Api said that's okay. Now, there's a discussion in the Paiskim about machine matzahs. Matzah mechuna. One of the discussions about machine matzah is based on this discussion that we started off with, that there's a special inyan of lishma. Can I have lishma without doing any maisa? Or how about pushing the button? Is that enough to be considered lishma? Now, this is a general question discussed by many paiskim. Earlier, achreinim, when machines came out, referring to making tzitzis lishma, tefillin lishma, different areas of halacha that need lishma. It's a general halacha with a machine. Is that enough or not? So, Paiskim, we're back and forth on this with different rayas, if it's considered lishma or not. Different inventions came out where one with there's one matzah bakery in Eretz Yisrael that in order for the machine to work, you had to have someone sitting on the chair. Like he's pushing down the button the entire time. If he gets in the middle, it stops working. So there's a maisa being done the entire afia. And different patentim came out. There were others that actually held that machine matzah is much better. A lot of the Yishlaim of Paiskim held that it's much better. There's less chances of chametz coming about. Less chances of chametz coming about with it. So again, this was a back and forth about machine matzahs, if it's better or worse. We hear many times, chabura matzahs. What's this inyan of chabura matzahs? So if we take a look at the Tshuvas Avnei Neza, where it's actually a tshuva being written about machine matzahs, he says over there, they says, I heard that that there are many cities where they don't bake, where people don't go to bake their own matzahs. They just let one person bake for everyone and he sells it to everyone. This seems to be very disappointing to me. When one bakes their own matzah, they can be much more careful on the matzah. Each person will make sure that it's being done the best way. So he's very much in favor that each person should be involved in their own baking of matzahs. And therefore, there are people that will be make sure it will be makbid to be part of a chabura, to be involved in the baking of their own matzahs and try to join chaburas where anshe yirei shemayim medaktike b'mitzvahs, who know the halachas and are being medaktik and baking in the correct way. It's something that one has to be careful about. Sometimes the bought chabura matzahs may be better because the people baking and know the halachas and know how to keep the kelim clean. But as opposed to private people doing it on their own. But it's at Shani, if the people doing it on their own as a chabura sat down and figured out the halachas and worked out how it should be done properly, it could have a tremendous maila. And we find in Simin Tov Nun Ches the inyan of matzas mitzvah, which is the meaning that many people have, chassidim especially, that the matzah they're going to use at the night of the Seder, they bake on Erev Pesach. Chabad brings down the minig of baking on Erev Pesach, which was the time of the Akrovis Karban HaPesach, and the Indian of doing so. Over there in Tav Nun Ches, the Mishnah Brura brings down this minig that many have to be makbar on Gebrox, which is Gebrox literally means broken. But over here doesn't mean broken. Over here it's referring to soaked. Matzah, which was soaked in a liquid. Matzah which was soaked liquid, and as the Mishnah Brura brings down, the yesh anshei maisa, there are anshei maisa which are machmir themselves, they don't soak and they don't cook the matzahs on Pesach as a chashash, that perhaps there's some kemach, some flour left in the matzah within that wasn't kneaded well, and by soaking it will turn chametz. If we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav at the end of his sefer, where over there he has tshuvis, in tshuva vav, he discusses this ba'arichus, and he discusses why in the earlier generations they were not machmer, why now they are machmer. But what is mevur over there is that gebrox is a chumrah, which is a tremendous chumrah. There's actually the matzahs that we have nowadays, the thin matzahs that we have nowadays that are burnt, relatively burnt, or if you have some bakeries really burn them, the more brisky you are, the more burnt they are. There's so little of a chance that flour will ever become chametz. So the whole idea of gebrox is a tremendous chumrah. Therefore, those that are noy gebrox should continue being noy gebrox. We don't just be mevatim and hugim, especially when it comes to Pesach. However, with this, we understand why on Achra and Shal Pesach, they are mekel. If there's a real chash of chametz, they would not be mekel l'achrei shel Pesach. And number two, those that are makban and gebrach should keep in mind that may peres emach mitzvah. If you have pure juice without any water mixed into it, one could dip the matzah into it. There's a question of wine that's diluted with water is considered may peres or not. But if it comes to making matzah brai, if one will make matzah brai with a may peres, then perhaps it will be mutter, even if you makbid on gebrox. Just one last point. The Ramah brings down matzah kefulais and matzah nefuchais. Matzah kefulais is that when it was being baked, the matzah folded over and created a fold in the matzah. Or nefucha, there's a bubble over there. Again, the chash with kefulais and nefuchais is that perhaps there's some flour left there that was not kneaded and baked, and therefore, if it gets wet, it could become chametz. However, in our matzahs where they're so thin, and this is the reason why we use thin matzahs, we don't use those soft matzahs, we use the thin matzahs so that we do not need to worry about this. We don't have this chashash that there's some flour left there that was not baked because the fire reaches all parts of it. So even if you see some white dust on it, that white flour was probably baked already, the shas, the afiyah, and one doesn't have to, l'chatchila, at least, b'choshet, that's chometz. They want to be machmir, they can break the piece off and get rid of it, but they definitely don't have to make themselves crazy over it. Okay, so I think we finished for today what we planned on doing. Mirzim, tomorrow I would like to start with the halachas of Erev Pesach and move on to the Leil HaSeder. Any questions?
Yes, Rav, I have a question. Let's say on the stain, I'll show the Rav, like this stainless steel. I don't know if the Rav could see. The Rav sees my video?
So far I can't, but maybe one second. Yeah, now I could. Yeah. So
the bottom of the faucet, there's plastic components and the top and all around. So that kind of thing.
Just pour hot water over it.
Okay. And I just want to clarify, an oven, like a regular stainless steel floor, great, just put the block over and you don't have to cover anything?
If it's stainless steel, the floor, if you put on 2-3 fires, you leave the blech over it for probably 20 minutes. But again, be very careful from the heat. It'll be fine and everything will be kosher. Okay.
Major the Rebbe mentioned about granite tops for countertops. So what's the thing with that?
Oh, good question. I didn't get into it. You're right. There are different types of countertops. And some of them are questions in the pricing if one could kasher or not. If you know that your countertop is a problem, maybe tomorrow I'll get a list of which ones are more questionable than others. Believe that I don't have it offhand. So I will look into it. The CRC has a full list on their website about which ones, yeah, which ones not. So believe that tomorrow I'll mention in the beginning of Shir. However, at the end of the day, I think you can kasher all of them if it's needed. If it's really troubling to kasher. You know, I didn't mention also a few different items like the urn, a urn or a blech. Let's just quote that. A urn. If you ever use the urn to heat up chametz directly on the urn, then it's difficult to kasher your urn, and therefore you should get a new urn for Pesach. If you never used it to heat up chametz on it, so then just wash it down well and it'll be fine. A platter, just cover it. If you want to use your blech for Pesach, clean it well and just cover it with thick aluminum. Same thing with a platter, cover it with thick aluminum. What else was there? Someone just sent in a question. I missed it. Do you have to clean the grates before you kasher it? If this food caked onto it, then you should. Otherwise, you could rely on the fire burning it.
Rebbe, what about the piece that spreads the fire itself? Not the grates, but these things.
That gets kashered probably on its own, but for sure, when you do this, it gets kashered.
I should put it in the self-clean? I should put it in the oven?
Put it in the self-clean. Yes.
Oh, I thought the Rav says you could just cover it with the blech and that kashers it.
Yeah, but he has a self-clean, so he doesn't have to do that. Those that have self-clean don't have to do the blech idea. They just take the pieces, put it in their self-clean, and self-clean everything.
Maybe is electric self-clean oven the same as a gas self-clean oven? If it says self-clean, it always means it?
Yeah, it's fine. Yes. And we got stuck.
Wait. So tomorrow we're going to go through the countertops?
Yeah, tomorrow we'll go through the countertops. And if there's any other items that I missed out, just remind me and we'll go through it. Okay?
Thank you.
If I don't plan on putting things inside my sink, do I have to kasher the sink? Or is it only if I plan on putting things into the sink?
If you don't plan on putting in, you're right. You don't have to. Oh, but you're not going to be able to pour anything hot into there either because steam will come up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if you're pouring out the hot water from the potato.
Then I can just kasher the top of the sink. Oh, I can't. Oh, because the steam will come up from the floor of the sink.
Right. That's right. That's right.
What about the plastic part of the urn, the spout of the urn?
Pour hot water over it if you're worried.
Hashlemi, sorry. Echananyosa.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? I'm Chaim, what did I leave out?
Lipstick.
I think we've discussed that enough. Okay. Fine. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. It's been a pleasure.